You're listening to the Fairies and Folklore Podcast by Renal. I'm dark fantasy author Renal Jansen van Veeren. With nearly a decade of digging around in dusty folklore books, researching creatures of imagination that ignited my curiosity, I'm here to share the folklore in a nutshell and how I reimagined it for my writing in An Origin of the Fae. This is the Fairies and Folklore Podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Renal Jansen van Veeren. You can just call me Renal. In today's episode, we're continuing our exploration of the Fae realm. This episode is brought to you by my Dark Court Sisters book series, available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook. Three sisters, three destinies, three ways to destroy the world. Go to renaldemythmaker.com/Dark Court Sisters series for more. You can now support my time in producing the podcast, researching, writing, and everything else involved by buying me a coffee. This can be a once-off thing, or you can buy me coffee again in the future at your discretion. Go to buymeacoffee.com/Renal to support me. We are continuing our exploration of solitary fae. Today's fairy, Golno. Folklore in a Nutshell by Renal. Though I usually use creatures found in folklore, as is, with minor adjustments, I had this wonderful idea for a specific fairy race that incorporated a variety of Celtic races, customs, and histories. The Celts in a Nutshell by Renal. Thus their name Golno is a Celtic word meaning power or strength, which I think works great for them, especially since that is the way other fae see them. If you have any image of the fierce Celtic warrior in your head, it is most probably inspired by the Greek and Roman historians who first encountered them and wrote about them. This basic image would be of a woad-painted, half-naked, howling warrior that inspires fear and awe in his enemies. You'll also have a vague idea about druids. When most people think of druids, it is that they got together beneath sacred oaks, harvested mistletoe, and supervised human sacrifice, usually by stuffing mistletoe into the unfortunate person's mouth before drowning them in a bog. The ancient Celts built various forts to protect their clans against others, for warfare was common. These consisted of dunes, stone-hill fortresses, crannogs, forts and houses built on stilts in locks, and brocks, round stone towers tapering inward as they rise from the ground, to name a few. It is believed that the Romans grouped the various Celtic tribes, clans, together according to where they lived, Britons in England, Scots in Ireland, and Picts in Scotland. The Picts in a Nutshell by Renal. We know from what classical authors wrote that the people from northern Scotland were referred to as Picts. They have been shadowy, enigmatic figures throughout history. And by the time the Norsemen invaded and compiled their sagas, the Picts had faded into folklore as mythical race of fairies. Picts means painted people, most likely referring to the fact that they used war paint made of woad and tattoos to embellish their bodies. Before the Romans arrived, the Picts were mostly involved in fighting among themselves, but when the Roman threat came from the south, they united and won the war. Scotland holds the distinction of never falling to the invading armies of Rome, despite many attempts on the part of the Romans. The Picts were ruled by clan chieftains. The clans were known as Serani, Cornavi, Lugi, Smyrte, Decante, Coronacae, Caledoni, Salgove, and Votodini. They lived separately, but when threatened by a common enemy, they would elect a single chief to lead them all. Each clan would still follow their own chief, but each chief would obey the warrior they had all chosen as the group's leader. The males of the tribe were all warriors, but when not called upon to defend their clan and land, they were, as were the women, farmers, fishermen, and herders. Julius Caesar remarked in 55 BC, "All the Britons, without exception, stain themselves with woad, which produces a bluish tint, and this gives them a wild look in battle." And from stone carvings, we get a general idea of what they wore. Women wore ankle-length tunics, and men wore varied lengths. All of this leads me to believe that the Picts were a lot like the Wodes in the King Arthur movie. Of course, that's a lot to think to tie together. So where did I originally get the idea to go and look at all of that? Most probably when I read through The Folklore of Discworld by Terry Pratchett and Jacqueline Simpson. The Wee Free Men, or the Nacmac Fiel, are loosely based on the Picts, so a bit of history on the folklore from our world is included in the account of the folklore of the Wee Free Men. Robert Chambers, in his popular Rhymes of Scotland, 1870, wrote, "Short wee men they were, with red hair and long arms and feet so bright that when it rained they could turn them up over their heads, and they served for umbrellas. The Picts were great builders. They built all the old castles in the country." This refers to brochs, a type of ancient round tower, which Scotsmen called Picts castles. There's a lot more in the chapter about the Nacmac Fiel, but this is what stood out the first time I read it. I was inspired by a lot of modern culture when creating these creatures. The knights and wodes in the King Arthur movie always impress me when they go up against the Saxon army. And though many dislike the movie for its creative liberties with history and folklore, as a writer, I don't mind that much. Seeing as I rarely know the day of the week we're at, why would historical inaccuracies in a movie bother me? It's all dark age, so what does a century or two matter? The knights and wodes are wild, fearless, and will fight to the death for what is theirs. And that is exactly why I like the movie, so I incorporated those traits in the Golno. In a lot of my research, including that of the Nacmac Fiel, the Picts and Picts and so on, are described as wild and fierce, and that they love to drink, eat good food, and enjoy lots of fighting among themselves, much like the clans in Disney's Brave. My Golno stick to that tradition. And of course, the Golno are great warriors, like the Picts, the Celts, the Nacmac Fiel, and the Picts. The Golno started out as your average medieval fae living in a brock and basically mimicking the Picts and Celts. Then I got tired of their almost barbaric ways, and I made them almost knightly with proper manners and gallantry, but keeping the fierce warrior background. I also retained their love of brawling. It makes them endearing. I recently stepped away from the pure medieval way of life, a character or two who'd preferred to dress a little differently while still keeping to clan colours, making themselves heard. So a pair of high heels with clan colours won't be as strange as at first thought. Like all characters, they're continually evolving as a group. All the research, planning, thought and time that went into these characters, though I'm only looking at them as a whole today, was well worth it. They feature in most of my work because they embody all that is good, unlike the Seelie Knights who've lost all balance, though that's a topic for another time. And now for my interpretation of the Fae in An Origin of the Fae, Golno. Short warrior Fae who embody the Scottish medieval way of life, though there are a few rebels who've kept up with modern technology and fashion. Each clan has their own shade of purple to wear. This is mostly shown through the tartan claimed by each clan. Each clan has their own shade of blue eyes. Most all Golno have black hair, but some who embody summer have golden hair. All the clans live in Cregora on a heath covered with heather. Cregora is a brock built out of special glowing stone. Cregora is situated in a part of Faery located in the Highlands of Scotland. Humans know enough to stay away from this different realm located in their own world. The Golno were Seelie once upon a time, but are now solitary Fae. This means that they have to pay a tithe to live on court land. All of Faery belong to the two courts. They believe in honour, bravery, courtesy, and gallantry toward women. The clans are led by three of the strongest lairds, the McAlter, the McGregor, and the McKinnon. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode of the Fairies and Folklore podcast and that you've learned something new about fairy. Remember that you can get a transcript of this episode in the description. If you're new to the podcast, why not go and grab your free copy of Unseen, the second book in the fairy tale series, on my website, rinaldamythmaker.com. Loads of folklore, magic, and danger await. Take care.